to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. This is what we call the faith chapter. Well, the whole Bible is a faith chapter, but it's the chapter on the heroes and those of the Old Testament who did exploits for God by faith. And I wanted you to notice a couple of verses in this chapter regarding Moses. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 24 and 25. We'll go down through verse number 27. But Hebrews 11, 24, have you found it? I gave the slow ones time. Everybody's found it? All right. Hebrews 11, 24, by faith, say by faith. How many of you know the just shall live by faith? So we're to live this way. These are men the Bible talks about. Those that have gone before us are examples for us. And we see Moses here. He did something by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, we might say grown up, when he was matured up, he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses refused, when he was mature, he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that you know, if you don't know the history, you don't know the story of the Old Testament about Moses. Remember, he was the one that was born, his mother, he was born during the time the Egyptian Pharaoh told the midwives, I guess, helping the Israelites have the babies to make sure and kill all the male babies. You remember that? I mean, isn't that just lovely? Sounds like today. Anyway, before I get off on that, this Moses was born during that time, and his mother hid him. You remember, she made a little basket in the bulrushes and hid him, and he was kept down there, and so they didn't find the baby right away. But Pharaoh's daughter was down bathing in the river, and she found the basket with the baby, and then actually ended up taking him for her son, you remember. So he was raised as in an Egyptian home, as an Egyptian, actually in line as an heir to the throne of Pharaoh's throne. He was royalty, you know. And so, but whenever he grew up, see, he's not an Egyptian, but that's the way he was raised. He dressed like him. He smelled like him. He looked like him, you know, talked like him. You know what I'm talking about? Went to their altar sacrifices. You know what I'm talking about? Just he was an Egyptian. That's the way he was raised. And, but when he grew up, I don't know, somehow or another, he realized who he was, found out who he was, that he was actually born a Hebrew and, was an Israelite, and what had happened, how he was adopted or whatever they would call that back then. And he decided, the Bible says, by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you realize that's giving up a lot. That's not just, you're not my mama no more. You know, that's he's given up wealth. He's given up position. He's given up power. He's given up a whole lot of stuff there. But he made that choice. I don't know if I could make that choice. Well, notice how Moses made it. By faith. By faith. I mean, in other words, it takes faith to realize who you really are in God and to call yourself who he really says you really are. So by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Because you remember, they were persecuted. They were slaves. They were in captivity, you remember? Because Pharaoh got afraid of them. They were multiplying so fast. That's why he was killing the babies, you know? And so he was afraid of them. He didn't want to revolt, and so he was afflicting them. He was choosing, but Moses decided, I'm not an Egyptian. I choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God because they were being persecuted. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made a choice. Notice the word choosing in verse 25. Faith, in verse 24 and 25 together, faith, one of the evidences that a person is a person of faith is the choices they make. The choices they make. sometimes people make wrong choices, and it's only because they refuse to believe what the Word of God says. And that's something we see here about Moses as an example to us. Say, he's an example for me. Moses showed us that when you're a man of faith, a woman of faith, that means you make right choices. In other words, you don't make choices based on what's to your advantage in the flesh. You don't make choices based on, what would pay off the. In other words, money doesn't make your choices. You know, position doesn't make your choices. I'm thinking of Anna Merrick. She just graduated, but she, when she graduated, if I remember right, there was a. Where are you, Anna? Tell me if I'm saying this right. When you graduated from high school, they had some things laid out for you, wasn't it? You was it in sports? Was it? Oh, that was Alexis. Yeah, that was Alexis. Thank you. Where's Alexis at? We use her as an illustration Wednesday night. Anyway, she had a scholarship to go to a cool school because, what was it, soccer? Was it soccer? And she prayed about it, and the Lord said, nope, that's not the plan for you. Everything was laid out. Was it a full scholarship? Full scholarship. And because she's a lady of faith, she made a choice that others look at and say, what? You're crazy. You know, in the natural, see, they're just walking by sight. But when we walk by faith, we'll make choices based on the leading of the Spirit and the Word of God and what God says is right and what God says is wrong. Amen. And other people won't understand it, but listen, in the long run, it'll pay off. It'll pay off. I don't know if McKinnon's here this morning, but there you are. McKinnon's mom and dad decided to not let her go to school where she wanted to go to school because they just couldn't get it clear in their spirit. You might say, well, if kids grow up in my home, they'd make the choice. Well, no, wait a minute. Wait. You're the one I'm shooting for this morning. No, you are there. Your mom and dad, you're giving that child to help them to make right choices. And when a choice is not in line with the leading of the Spirit or the Word of God, number one, the Word of God, or the leading of the Spirit, and they're making a wrong choice and they live in your house, then you still help them make those choices. And that's what happened with McKinnon. She was making a choice, and it's like, just something isn't right. So mom and dad said, no, we're not going to let you go there. And see, because she was responsive to her parents' direction, the Bible talks about children obey your parents. She had graduated from high school, but just because you graduated in high school doesn't mean you make all the right choices yet. Yeah. You're still learning. Wet behind the ears, you know. Don't get mad at me because I said that. I know you think because you graduated from high school, you're all that in a bag of chips. But it just take a few years and you realize yourself that you weren't even all that in a bag of chips. Amen. Somebody said, well, I trained them and they can make their own choice. Listen, if they're still making wrong choices, you're not done training them.
That's right.
You're not done training them. If they're not making spiritual choices, they're just going for what their flesh wants. And sometimes they just want to do something to get out of the house. That's not a spiritual decision. To get away from mom and dad. Hello? Well, don't shout me down because I might go to preaching a little bit better. Anyway, McKinnon responded to her parents' direction, and it wasn't very long at all. She met the man. I mean, he is all that in a bag of chips, I think. At least that's what he told me. But she wouldn't have met him if she had gone to the wrong place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So although, you know, children grow up and they might not yet be in the place where they're making choices by the leading of the Spirit in faith, even when their mind doesn't understand. Hallelujah. When mom and dad get a leading and they make a choice based on the leading of the Spirit, because they're further along in this and they're responsible to train their children. Isn't that right? and parents give the direction and the children respond, things turn out. Right. They turn out right. Tell your neighbor they turn out right. Because it pays to make choices by faith rather than by sight. And then if I remember right, Miss McKinnon, she came and kind of acknowledged, yeah, I just wanted to get out of the house. Was that about right? Something like that? You know, maybe that was one of the other young people. I remember that story recently somewhere. Just wanted to get out of the house. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, choosing. Say choosing.
Choosing.
Well, I'm sharing with some of these that have just graduated, but it's good for all of us this morning. These that just graduated, they're coming into a place of starting to make some choices in a new stage of life. And we want to talk about making some right choices.
Amen.
How can you make the right choice? Anybody interested in that? One of the big things is walk by faith. Walk by faith rather than by sight. Don't walk by what just seems good. Well, the door opened. That must be God. No, the devil can open doors. When things open, you have to know by the leading of the Spirit if that's right or not.
Amen.
I've had many situations where doors were opened. Many says it wasn't right. It wasn't God. I was invited. I was actually called to have an interview with a leading ministry in America today. They wanted to interview us to put us on staff to assist them in that ministry. We were flattered. We were well, sure, yeah. And but this is years ago. And I got on a plane to go preach at a meeting, and I remember on the plane my belly started stirring. And I don't mean it was indigestion. I mean something isn't right. Oh, Lord, what is it? I got to pray. Something isn't right. Prayed. I had to wait, because you can't just burst out in tongues on the plane. Let me rephrase that. You should not burst out in tongues on plane. People will think you're weird, and let me give you another little line under that. You are. You know, and I'm just like, God, I got to pray. And I'm trying to pray some under my breath, but when I got to the hotel, checked in. But I didn't even unpack my bag, just threw them across the bed and laid across the bed and just came out groanings in the Spirit. I didn't even know what I was praying about. But as I got over into the Spirit, I realized, oh, I can't go on staff with this ministry. It's not the plan of God. Wonderful ministry, great ministry. You understand? Wasn't one of those things like that's not, how many of you know just because you're led not to do something doesn't mean, well, that's a bad church or that's a bad ministry? It's just not what God's plan is for you. And in hindsight, I see now if I had gone that direction, my life would be totally different now. You understand? But thank God I followed that when it looked like an open door of opportunity, yet it wasn't God because the witness of the Spirit wasn't there. The Spirit of God was warning me against it. And so I followed that, and I'm so grateful, so grateful, so grateful, because God has done wonderful things. But it's a matter of walking by faith rather than walking by sight. Look at your Bible again. Underline by faith, verse 24, by faith Moses. And then verse 25, choosing. In other words, by faith he made the choice. It takes faith when it looks like, man, I'd be a fool to turn that down. And you don't have the witness of the Spirit. It takes faith to say, no, it just doesn't seem right. Somebody said, well, it's pretty much everything. Everything seems pretty much all right. You know, it's not quite, but, pretty much. Well, not quite is not right.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You want, oh, yeah. I mean, you go to bed and your toes are twitching. You go, oh, yeah, this is it. This is it. Even when your head's gone, that's not very, why would you do that? That's called faith. I said, that's called faith. It takes faith to make right choices. Hallelujah. And that's part of mom and dad's job, is to help children walk by faith in making their choices rather than just walking by sight or walking by their flesh. Or when it comes to dating, for example, by their hormones. Well, I love him. What do you know about love? You're all but 18 years old. And about 15 of those, you were as dumb as a post. And you just now started even getting growing a few brain cells. Hello. I said hello. Well, I love him. I love her. You don't know what love is. You wouldn't recognize love if it came down the street with a red hat and slapped you across the face and said, I'm love. You wouldn't know what love is. A lot of it's hormones. A lot of it's just lust. It's just you make me feel good, all that. Well, that's all going to wear off. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm going with it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, choices. Tell your neighbor choices. Making right choices. So, Moses made a choice that was actually going to, and it was a right choice. How many of you know he became one of the most used men in the entire Old Testament? But he made a choice that led him right into persecution, right into losing all his wealth, all his prestige. You know, into what the Bible calls here suffering affliction with the people of God. Amen. So another indication, in other words, another thing about making right choices is right choices knows who my people are.
Come on. That's good.
Right choices means I know who my people are and I choose to stick with my people.
Amen.
What do you mean my people? I'm talking about the people of God.
That's right.
People that make a choice. Now, I'm talking to you graduates. Are y'all out there with your ears on? Anybody got their ears on? This will be good for all of us. Right choices when it comes to the next stage, whether it be a job or maybe some of you are going on to school. Maybe, you know, graduate high school, you're going to go on to school or something. That choice should be a choice made in faith that says, I'm not going to make a choice that pulls me away from the people of God.
Yeah.
What do I mean away from the people? I mean strong, regular, close fellowship with a body of believers of like precious faith who you gather with regularly, and you even set aside sporting events in order to go to church on Wednesday nights. You know what I'm talking about. In other words, you count the people of God as a priority over all the natural things that you're pursuing.
Yes, amen, amen.
That's the right choice. Moses decided that because of his faith, he decided the people of God are where my fellowship is. At the expense of fellowship with the people of the world, he chose the people of God and said, I'm going to make sure that I'm in good fellowship with my people.
Amen.
It cost him everything. But it was the right choice. Look how his life turned out. I mean, he's recognized. He's one of the most well-known names in the world today. You know, they list names. How many people in the world recognize this name if somebody mentions it? Abraham's way up there, you know. Moses is way up there. Jesus is way up there. But the point I'm making is that because he made the right choice, God was able to use him mightily. But see, at the time, it didn't look like the right choice. I mean, he had to go up against the strongest, most powerful military and nation in the world at that time because he made that choice. But God's power backed him up because he made that choice.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And God's power will make, if you make the right choice, God's power will back you up in that choice and cause you to succeed whenever it looks like you made the wrong choice. I said, amen. Come on. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. In other words, choosing the people of God, even if it meant persecution. Choosing fellowship with the people of God. So, notice verse number 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Oh, man. Notice that word esteeming. By faith, esteeming. That's the way I like to do this. I put that first two words in verse 24 together with these words coming through these verses. By faith, he esteemed. In other words, by faith, he said, this is more important than all these natural riches that Egypt could give me and so forth, all the fame and all the position and power and all that. He said, by faith, I recognize what's more important. And what's more important is God's people doing the plan of God to deliver. See, God raised him up to deliver God's people. That's what the plan of God was for his life. And so he said, God's plan for his people and my part in it is the most valuable thing here, not money, not position. Amen. It is what is God's plan and how does that, what is my part in the plan of God concerning his people? It is an unbelief choice to just make a decision to go to a school because they can give you the degree you're looking for and this is they'll give me the scholarship here and they'll do this for me and they'll do this for me. Listen, if it pulls you out of a local church, listen, and you haven't even considered where you would go to church and whether there is a church there that will continue to build upon the foundation, listen, that your parents began to place into your life. Then it is a fleshly choice rather than a spiritual choice. And it will take you down spiritually rather than keep you build up and growing spiritually. Somebody say amen. I'm not saying it's wrong to go out of town, leave, and go to a school that God's leading you to go to if there's the leading of the Spirit. But see, we don't make choices like the world makes a choice. You realize the devil has a plan for you just like God's got a plan for you. And that'll open the door for him to work his plan if you're in the flesh making choices.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah. It'll open the door for him. Somebody said, well, that wasn't my intention to get in a wrong relationship. I know it wasn't your intention, but that's what it opens the door to when you're in the flesh making wrong choices. When God wants to bless you, he sends somebody into your life. When the devil wants to hinder you and take you out, he sends a wrong influence into your life. And meeting the wrong person. And deciding to marry the wrong person because you're in the wrong place, out of the will of God, is heartache. It turns out bad. It doesn't turn out the way God wanted your life to be. Your life looks nothing like it should have been. And then children come along, and if the marriage falls apart, then the children are affected, and then mama lives in that state, daddy lives in that state. Listen, the church is riddled with this stuff. Let's stop it.
Thank you. Amen.
I said, let's stop it. Let's start making spirit-led choices. I would say, this is an estimate, not based on any statistics I've heard or anything. It's an estimate based on experience. It's not as high in this, it's fairly high, but it's not as high in this congregation as in the church world at large. But probably 70 to 80% of all Christian homes, there is disunity in the home. What do you mean disunity? Well, several different things, but a lot of it has to do with spiritual disunity. He goes to church over there. She wants to go over here. And the kids don't know where to go with mom or dad. You know what I'm talking about? They don't believe the same thing. There's not unity. And there's disagreement about spiritual things. And therefore, the kids come up in that. And that opens the door to the enemy because now they're confused. They don't know. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. Am I preaching all right? Well, why don't we stop that by stopping the choices being made out of line with the Word of God? Choices being made in the flesh rather than in the Spirit, choices by faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And mom and dad, that's your job to help them. I said it's your job to help them. Let me tell you, there's a lot of... since I'm on it, let me just talk about singles and getting married. Would you humor me a little bit? Don't approach marriage lightly. Marriage is a big choice. And for some of you that have just graduated, it might be the next biggest choice. I mean, the next big choice you have coming up. It could be. I don't know for sure. But, you know, for many of you, it's one of the bigger choices coming up. Well, don't approach it lightly. Don't approach it in the flesh. What do I mean in the flesh? I mean not by faith. Okay, here's my character. Here's my qualifications. He's got to be 6 foot tall, or she's got to be this, and he's got to be dark haired. He's got to have a, you know, this and that, and he's got to have a college degree. He's got to whatever, all these fleshy things. Why don't you lay your list aside and say, God, I have some things I would prefer, but you know me better than I know me. And you know who would complement the giftings that are in me, and I want the one you have for me. Amen. That's called a faith choice.
Right.
Well, I'm afraid God might make me marry somebody ugly. Trust me, he won't. He won't. Walk by faith, friend. Walk by faith. Praise the Lord. I haven't seen him do it yet. He won't make you marry anybody ugly. It's sin that makes people ugly anyhow. So if they're the right ones, they'll be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, loving Jesus with all their heart, renewing their mind. And that'll make them look good. Like sort of like Pastor Jay, Pastor Debbie, you know, good looking. Some of you haven't laughed the whole service. But don't approach it lightly. This should be a sober thing to you. Too many marriages are approached with the mindset, well, if it doesn't work out, we can divorce. Let me tell you what you already are. You're already defeated. You are already divorced before you got married. Huh? You're doomed to failure before you even start. Hello? A lot of times people approach these things too lightly. Amen. Okay, so now that everybody's in the service. It's not enough that somebody's just a believer. We're talking about choices, and we're talking about now that I keep getting on this, we're talking about choices in marriage. Or who to marry. I'm talking about who to marry. It's not enough that they're a believer. Well, they love Jesus. Okay. Can they prove it? What do you mean, prove it? Well, Jesus said where your treasure is, there's where your heart is also. So let's just start here. Are they a tither? Oh, I don't know. Well, you better find out. Because that's one of the biggest indicators they love him. Do you realize if you're going through a hard place, maybe financially, and you're struggling, and I find out about it, and I say, well, bless you. We'll pray for you. That's different than, really? Here, let me get you something that'll, and just give you 100 or a couple hundred or something. That's totally different. That's a different level of love. Same thing true with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Nobody parts with cold, hard cash for somebody they don't love. Unless forced to. Well, anyway. So find out if they love Jesus. Amen. How about this? You want another one? I would look for somebody that was raised in the local church, and they have a heart for the local church. If they were not raised in the local church, my everybody still loves Pastor, right? If they don't love the local church and you love the local church, right there's immediate disunity. We're talking about unity in the home by making right choices. I was going to get on some other things, but we're on this. So, and we got too much of this in the body of Christ. Well, they changed. Well, you should have prayed a little harder and found out ahead of time that they were going to change. You know, for those of us that made choices in the past before we understood any of the things I'm talking about, or understood how to pick somebody by the leading of the Spirit, or understood how to walk by faith, thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank God.
But how many of you know if a dog bites you once, it's his fault? Bites you twice, it's your fault.
That's exactly right. Come on. Yeah.
So what we're doing is from what we're talking about is from now on. Let's do some faith walking. Let's do some faith choosing. Let's do some praying. Let's seek God before we get married rather than have to afterwards, just to stay sane without losing our mind, because it's crazy in the house. Amen. This hurricane that comes home at 5 o'clock every night is messing up the home. Well, you picked him. Boy, it got quiet on that. I thought you'd... Hallelujah. See, people want to lay the blame off on somebody else all the time. I remember years ago, there was a couple major ministries that fell. In the eyes of the body of Christ and the media and all that, because of abuses of financial dealings and so forth. And people were upset. I remember hearing people talk, I sent a lot of money to that ministry and they weren't right. And I said, wait a minute. Did they force you to send that money? No, they didn't force me. I said, so you did it because you chose to do it? Yeah. I said, well, then don't get mad at them. Get mad at yourself. Boy, it's tight, but it's right this morning, isn't it? People get upset for what somebody else did. Hey, you know, young people, don't get upset at being out with a bunch of the wrong crowd and they do something that ends up putting them in jail. Maybe you didn't even do it and didn't get put in jail, but your name is smeared and all that. Why were you with, well, you chose to go with them that night. You chose to go with them that night. It's all back on choices we make. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I believe we can make the right choice every single time. We have the ability to hear God and to make right choices every single time and always be at the right place at the right time and not at the wrong place at the wrong time. Not hooking up with the wrong people, not being at the wrong place at the wrong time. When it all goes down, we weren't there.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah. When the shots were fired and blood started flowing, we weren't there.
That's right.
When the alcohol came out or the drugs came out, we weren't at the party.
Come on now.
Come on now. Choices. Well, they're my friends. Listen, if the Spirit of God says stay away from them, then you better make a faith choice and decide that's not my friend anymore. Here's my friend, the people that love Jesus. They're my friends. They're who I hang out with. Amen. I remember when I was about, I don't know what year it was. It started younger, but I'm saying probably 12 years old or so. A gang of us at my church became my best friends. Kevin Bear, actually. And then a young girl named Kendra, a girl named Wanda, and a bunch of us. We were just a bunch of clean-cut kids. And I had some other friends at high school that started getting me off on the wrong track. But they were really the people that loved God and were really in church all the time. And that's what we were hanging out with them in church and church functions and church things. Yeah. Somebody said, well, people think I'm weird. Wait a minute. Who's the people you're talking about?
That's right.
Are they the Egyptians? Is that who you're talking about?
Come on.
Don't love what you love. Don't know the one you know. They haven't bailed you out of anything, but Jesus has bailed you out every time you've sought him. Hallelujah. So anyway, praise God. Everybody say amen. It's all true anyhow. So does he tithe? Well, I can't ask that question. Why not? This is a big deal getting into this relationship. If it goes too far... You know, why not? I remember Pastor Nancy telling a story about a young lady in her church. She was determined to get the right one, and some guy started asking, you know, kind of inquiring about her. And she said, okay, well, I'll go out with you on a date. And on the first date, they were driving down the road, and she got a prompting. Ask him, do you tithe? He said, well, no. He started making excuses. She said, turn me around. Go back. Take me home. Well, he said, he started making excuses. He said, no, I don't want to hear excuses. I just want to hear whether you are a tither or not. Somebody said, that's radical. Well, how much unity do you want in your home? Or do you want the statistics or 70% of disunity and all of that? Well, see, somebody said, well, I'll change them later. What makes you think that? If they won't change just to get you, once they got you, forget it. Amen. Tell your neighbor, now pastor's preaching better than your amen, and I can tell. You realize, though, that here's another one. If they're not raised in the local church, like I said, they'll pull you out of the local church. What's that psalm? I don't have it written down. Psalm 92, I believe it is. They that are planted in the house of the Lord, they'll flourish. They'll flourish. You know, a lot of people think my problem is the devil's doing this. My problem's the devil's doing that. No, your problem is you're not where the answers are. When the answers are coming every Sunday, every Wednesday, or whatever, you're not there. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So does he love, does she love? Let's just put it on both sides. Does he love, she love the local church? I mean the kind of love that makes you show up every service and puts that before ball games. There's disunity that comes into the home. I mean, see, you got to close these doors to disunity before you even get in the marriage. Don't say, well, later I'll change. You won't change them. You will not change them. You will not change them. Why would they change? So, you know, ball games. What are we going to do? Our kids love the ball games. Nothing wrong with ball games, of course. But then, of course, they always want to practice on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I came past the ball fields up here on 13 on the way down here, just packed with kids out there playing ball. I just wonder how many of their parents would have been at church if there wasn't for that ball game. You got to decide, are we going to be in unity about loving the local church more than ball games or sports? Nothing wrong with sports. But let's just put it around, make our schedule revolves around the local church because we love the local church. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. The local church is seated with Jesus far above. And so that's one thing to set your affection on. The church, the love of the fellowship of the people of God, being around the people of God. And praise the Lord. Somebody that you get married to or start dating and all that, they better love the local church. Amen. God is big on the local church. It's his plan for the believer concerning their spiritual growth. Well, we watch Christian TV. Well, okay, good. Maybe, I don't know. Depends what you're watching. There's a lot of strange doctrines on Christian TV. But that's not what the Bible, that's not all that God has for you. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And if you're going to college, if you just graduated from high school and you're going to college, make sure that it's the leading of the Spirit and doesn't pull you out of a church. Listen, that builds on the foundation. No, Mom and Dad's going to have to help with this. That builds on the foundation of the faith that they walked in as their parents put it into them. Mom and Dad, you should be interested in your heritage of faith.
Yes.
Your faith ought to go beyond you long after you are in the grave pushing daisies. Your children ought to be carrying on the faith that you walked in and showed them how to walk in. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. How about your children? The works that I do, Mom and Dad saying, the works that I do, you children are going to do also. So that means you're going to keep them in a place where, I'm not saying it has to be here. If God leads somebody to go to school somewhere else, that's fine. We want the plan of God. But it has to be building on the foundation that was started here. Not some church where, they never can tell what God's going to do. You know, sometimes he gets, some people says yes, some no, some maybe. When it comes to healing, all those things. Don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Shuts all that down. Doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't believe in divine prosperity. Doesn't believe in the authority of the believer. They believe God is sovereign and he just does whatever he wants to do. Well, give me your verse. Where's your verse? There isn't any.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I preaching all right?
Yes,
huh?
Real good.
Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Good. All right. Good. If he says I am, I'm doing good.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 Mom and Dad, it's your job to guide your children in spiritual things.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Joshua said, as for me and my house, I'm making my choice for me, but he said, I'm also making the choice for my house.
Yes. Amen.
You're going to live here, you're going to church with us.
Yes,
and you're going to church with us. You're not going to your friend's church. Your friends are not going to give an account before God as to whether you were raised right. I'm going to give account before God. You know, as the parents, I'm talking about as the parent, you as mom and dad, you should be saying, I'm going to give an account before God as to how I raise my children.
Yes. Yes.
So, no, you're not going to church with your friend. Maybe an event or something. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about just regular all the time. Not doing it. This is where God planted us. And if he planted mom and dad here, he planted you here. Parents are the voice of authority in the home when it comes to spiritual things. There is not a higher voice than mom and dad in the home when it comes to spiritual things. So you help them make those spiritual choices. And if you teach them the word, they'll stay with it. The Bible said. I said when the Bible talks about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It didn't say train up a child in the way he wants to go. I had a dad sit in my office. This is just the most amazing thing. He had a daughter. How old was she? She wasn't even 10, I don't think. And I said, well, it's good to see you coming. He had been coming for a while. Good to see you coming. I said, you have a daughter, though, don't you? Yeah, 10 years. I forget how old. Something like 10 years old. And I said, well, bring her to church. You know, we're just encouraged. We got children's church. We got. There's, she'll enjoy it. Come, bring her. Well, you know, I figured she's getting old enough to make her own decisions about stuff like that. I almost came out of my seat. You did what? You said what? It was tough to sit there. As for me and my house, Joshua said. 10-year-old don't know how to make right decisions yet. Or 15. Or even 18. They're just maybe starting to begin to think about learning maybe a little bit. Praise the Lord. All this shouting makes me want to preach some more. God's big on the local church. He mentioned it over 110 times in the New Testament. The local church, not just the. Well, we're part of the church. Yes, we are. We're all part of the body of Christ. We recognize the whole body of Christ. We're not saying there's not other members. There is not other good churches, even in town. But here's my point. Remember Acts 4? Whenever Peter and John got in trouble, they went to their own company. There was a place they called their own local home church. We're not called to fellowship every Sunday here. Maybe this Sunday we'll go there. Next Sunday we'll go there. There's a your own company where God's placed us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12, it says he's put everyone us in the body as it pleased him.
Yes, sir.
As it pleased him. And he didn't start your family on a diet of what you're getting in order to direct your children or even endorse your children going to some other place. Now, I don't mean they have to stay here if God's doing something, you know, in school somewhere else. But you better know for sure they're going to get the same kind of diet.
Yes, sir. Right.
People hear us preach this and they think, well, nobody, you know, they're all afraid about somebody leaving the church. We have actually encouraged people. Yes, this is, if you got this in your heart, you know, and we've found a church for them we've encouraged them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Remember the Highlands, for example. You know, they did that right. They found a place. That was, they actually decided which city to live in based on the church.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah.
Whoa, I hadn't thought about that. Right, because you're not walking spiritual yet.
Exactly. Come on. Yeah.
Amen. You were healed here, delivered here. Your marriage got set on track here. And you're going to go to some place that's not being fed what delivered you?
Yeah. Come on. Exactly. Come
Oof. I don't know. That just sounds to me like what my mama used to call dumb. Didn't call you dumb. That decision is dumb. Hallelujah. And you learn to love the local church. Jesus had a habit of going to church. I said he had a habit of going to church. Remember Luke 4? He opened the Bible where it was written, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He had a custom. He had a habit. Well, we're just throwing out all traditions, Pastor. Well, don't throw out the Bible.
Thank you.
Don't forsake the assembling of yourself. Anyway, you got that. We got to like move on here. We're quickly running out of time. And so that's God's plan. Remember, they went in Acts 4 to their own company. Every joint, Ephesians 4:16, supplies. Every joint. Where God puts you in the body of Christ, there's the supply of the Spirit there for you. Don't jerk your children out of that supply of the Spirit and place them in some place where there is no supply that doesn't feed them on the same level and the same diet they were fed. We go to other countries and we try to keep. I had to tell Pastor Ike this. I said, keep my diet. When I go to Nigeria, I want to eat an American diet. Because I've been over there several times and Montezuma's Revenge appeared, you know.
Oh, no.
You're trying to preach two services a day. I actually, one service had to, I was preaching right in the middle of my sermon, and I said, Pastor Ike, take over, and I walked out. Somebody said, why? I had to use the restroom. I told him, I said, you don't do that to me again. I was kind of stern about it in love. So we got the diet right. And praise God. Keep Montezuma's Revenge out there in the deep sea or somewhere out there, you know. Well, if that's true with our natural diet, why would that not be true with our spiritual diet? You know, a lot of it is not that they have, maybe there's some bacteria in their food that we don't have, but a lot of it's just different spices and things our gut's not used to. Well, what about your spiritual diet?
Exactly. That's good. Yeah.
You're going to start running at both ends. Weak, sickly. Anywho, Ephesians 4:16, every joint supplies. Where God joins you is where you're supplied. Somebody said, well, where does he join me? Well, let me say where he doesn't join you. He doesn't join you, just that's the closest church to your house. It's where your mom and daddy went. I'm talking about if they weren't spiritual and God moved you on into higher spiritual things. It's not just, you know, like you pick a dry cleaners where it's close by or something. It's where's the Spirit of God leading you to go? Where's the Spirit of God? Where are you getting fed? Where are you getting the diet that keeps you living in a victorious life? I'm not talking about three points and quoting grandma and quoting Abraham Lincoln and just a bunch of feel-good stuff. I'm talking about the Word of God. Amen. Never been a time in history it's more important to be connected right. Never been a time in history. And the further we go, the more it's going to be important to be in the right local church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The more we get closer to Jesus' return, it's going to be more and more important to be in the right place spiritually. I'm preaching better than your amen. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. It does matter who you're connected to. Just like it matters where a plant is planted in soil determines how fruitful and productive it can be. I plant some things out on our ranch, and there's certain areas that are real sandy, and the water doesn't stay in it right, and there's not much nutrition in it, and that doesn't grow near as well there as it does on some of the rich bottom land, that old black dirt in Iowa, you know. I got trees planted in that are going wah, like that, and this one over here is going, you know what I'm talking about? Well, how about your spiritual growth?
Come on.
There's some places you couldn't eke out a growth if you tried. Wrong diet. I'm not trying to preach you out of some other church unless you're not being fed there. Amen. All right. You unconsciously go down or up to the level of those you associate and fellowship with. Amen. It's all true. Somebody said, well, I don't know if that's in the Bible or not. Mark 6, 5 it is. There was people that living in that Jesus' hometown who could not receive healing there because of the people around them. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Mark 6, 5, Jesus could there do no mighty work. There are places that God can't move like he can move other places. Somebody said, well, I believe God can do anything. Well, you believe wrong. You believe wrong. Jesus in Mark 6, 5, could there do no mighty work. It didn't say he couldn't do it, but he couldn't do it there. He marveled because of their unbelief. There are places you get connected in filled with unbelief about healing, filled with unbelief about having a sound mind. They just send you off to the psychologist rather than tell you the word that will renew your mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you won't get free in those places. Because God can't move there because he honors his word and they're not preaching the word. The Bible talks about fruit and fruit that remains. Fruit that remains is people's lives being changed by the power of God's word, including salvation, but way beyond that. Amen. Tell your neighbor, amen.
Amen.
All right, so do they love the local church? I said that's one of the qualifications about one of these choices some of you are getting ready to make. Hallelujah. Can you give me another minute? God gives you a pastor. God's plan for every sheep is that they have a pastor. That's found in Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35 through 38, Jesus saw them, the multitudes scattered, and they were faint as sheep that have no shepherd. And he said to the disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the context is pastors. God would raise up pastors. Can you see what the context is and how that would mean that? Of course, it means other things beyond that, but that's the context. So he saw the multitude, verse 36. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep that have no shepherd. And he said to the disciples, pray. And so what he's saying there is sheep get scattered when they don't have a shepherd. That's the same Greek word translated pastor is translated shepherd. Now, I know there's error in the body of Christ where pastors, they try to run people's lives. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody, if you read the scriptures closely, a pastor is somebody who is to feed you the word of God and then tend to your life, not make decisions for your life, but tend to your life by good input into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice there he said that those who did not have a pastor, their lives were scattered. The blessings were scattered. Those that had a pastor, he said one of their anointings, basically the reverse would be true then. Those that have a pastor, one of the anointings on the pastor's life is to keep their life from being scattered. What do you mean, my life? I'm talking about your kids. I'm talking about your finances. I'm talking about your brain, scattered brain. I've seen some scattered brain Christians. And all the blessings of God. Brother Hagin used to always say, a rolling stone never gathers any moss.
That's right, yeah.
In other words, just rolling from church to church. You don't have a pastor, somebody that recognizes if you're going through something.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
If you're a visitor every Sunday, they wouldn't know if you're going through something.
That's right. That's true.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We used to call them cruise-o-matics. That's a charismatic. They just cruise around, cruise from church to church. Well, put it in park. Find some place. God said, this is where you belong. You know how many people have walked through that door on the way out and say, oh, I'm so thankful I found this church. This is where I belong. And that was 17 years ago or 16 years ago. And I've seen them once since. Amen. Well, if God said this, I didn't say it. I mean, I would if God would let me, but he won't let me say that. You got to decide between you and God. But if he says it, then make the decision. Put it in park. Here's where we're getting planted. We're going to come early. We're going to stay late. We're going to get to know the people. We're going to fellowship. Make this our home. Amen. Hallelujah. There are many good pastors and so forth, but you got to know where God's assigned you to be. And so if you're graduating, keep these things in mind. You realize what I'm talking about? Satan walks about seeking whom he may devour. And according to this scripture, he said here, they were fainted and scattered. The word scattered means chased by a predator in the Greek. And so he can get access to people who aren't sitting under a pastor. Because of choices, because, you know, well, I gotta be out of town for a year or whatever. Well, hallelujah. Now, let's talk about this last part about picking a mate. Do you still want me to get off on that a little bit? Wasn't a whole lot of amens on that, but we'll do it anyway. So, number one, what was one of the qualifications? Not just that they loved Jesus. I've been out on our ranch and the birds are out there singing. They're all praising the Lord. They love Jesus. Bluebirds love the Lord. It takes more than just saying you know, spouting and chirping, you know, that you love Jesus. I love Jesus. Well, then why do you keep trying to get my dress off, you know? Whoa. Where'd that come from? I don't know where that came from. Who said that? Did I say that? If you love him, you don't want to hurt one of his sheep, one of his children. Well, anywho, tell your neighbor, I'm still happy. I'm still happy. So you decide, do they love the Lord? Do they tithe? Do they love the local church? How about this? This is a disqualification for you. It should be a disqualification for you for a mate. It's someone that claims to be a Christian, but their mind is not progressively being renewed. Now, we got to qualify something. You might be further along spiritually than somebody that God says this is the one. But I'm talking about they have the same kind of hunger that you have that will cause them to get into a renewed mind and get into where you're walking very quickly. They might not be equal on the same plane you are spiritually, but they have the same level of hunger. And so they'll quickly catch up. Amen. And every time word comes and light comes, they run to it rather than say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, they're going to be doing that their whole life. Tell your neighbor it's all true. Praise the Lord. Now, most of the problems with disunity in the home today, even Christian homes, is that one is moving forward and towards God and renewing their mind and the other is not. Your marriage, I'm talking to people who are getting ready. They just came through a season. They're getting ready to make some choices, go into new seasons. Many of them are single. Everybody still know where we're at? Yes. I'm almost done. But I've said it many times. Marriage, and I'll say it again, marriage is not supposed to be a ministry project. It doesn't mean we don't minister to one another. At times we all need somebody to help and encourage and strengthen. You know, I'm talking about just a lifestyle. Somebody just will not go to church if I don't go to church. In fact, if I'm out of town, they won't go to church. Well, if that's where it is because of past decisions, then just keep in prayer, seeking God, praying over them, loving them like Christ loved the church, so forth and so on. But if you haven't gotten into a relationship yet, you can fix all that before you even have to deal with it. Amen. Hello. Praise the Lord. So you want somebody that's hungry. Can I say something else? Just a little practical advice to those of you that are single here. Find somebody who is happy on their own. They keep the joy of the Lord on their own, and you're not their source of joy or happiness. Between them and God, they got enough relationship with God to pull themselves out of the dumps and the depression and big deal. There's nothing like living with a depressed person. Nothing like it. So just don't even go there. If they're just not naturally joyful. All the single people said. Even if you don't know it, trust by faith. Trust God. Trust God. You want somebody that's naturally joyful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Two people who are renewing their mind will yield to one another because that's the word. Remember, submitting yourselves one to another, Ephesians talks about in marriage. A renewed mind yields to one another in marriage. An unrenewed mind's just got to have its own way. The more our minds are renewed, the more we submit to one another. Without yielding to one another, without giving in and receiving, in other words, no one's ever going to have a good marriage. Marriage takes more than just getting. You got to give. Amen. And a renewed mind stops putting itself first and puts them first. And if they're married to you, they put you first. Think about you. Praise the Lord. Well, I better quit. It's just getting, that's about all some of you can handle. Just a little different flow today. Just a different, but I just had it in my heart to give some practical things. Don't let this next phase, those of you who are graduating or just graduated, don't let this next phase pull you out of what's important to you. I mean, if the local church is important to you and that's what your parents have taught you, then keep that. Keep that. Keep that important in all these decisions you're making when you're going to school and so forth and so on, or getting married. Find somebody who loves what you love. It's not enough that they just claim to love the Lord. You realize people will do anything to get you. And they'll say anything to get you, and they'll even go to church while they're dating you to get you. Why don't you ask them about what have you been doing for the last 5 years? What's your attendance been, your church attendance? If you don't know them, you know. I'm talking about if you didn't know them, maybe didn't grow up with them. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.